The Neutral.
What's up, everybody? And we're here for another episode of The Neutral. You know, I'm actually really impressed because season one did not go nearly as smooth as season two is going. I mean, that's probably not fair, right? We're like 3 for 3. But tonight's guest is anime fighting legend. You know him. You love him. It's Kizzy K. So let's switch to that two-player screen. Ew. What's good, my dude?
What's going on? What's going on?
Not a whole lot. You know, it's episode 3 of the second season. Things have been going pretty smooth so far. Can't complain too much. Been really happy with how the show's going. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I kind of brought this up before we did the show, which is the fighting games that you play aren't necessarily known for making the big bucks. Right, where you know you're not playing Tekken, you're not playing Street Fighter, you're not playing Mortal Kombat. You play these games like Guilty and Unist. Why the anime games over some of the more lucrative fighting games out there?
Okay, so I actually got into the scene playing Street Fighter 4.
Ooh.
So I was coming up for that game. But as the life cycle, as life cycle for game, new cycle of games come out, I wasn't able to really put in that spotlight I put in anime games at the time because game died, right? Mm-hmm. Fighter 5 came out. Everyone was on the season 1 hype train. So I wasn't able to really show my skills game that game that I learned into Street Fighter 5. Season 1 wasn't for me. I didn't really like any of the characters. So it was really hard for me to really show out my skills that I, put time to learn, apply. So I branched out on other games and I really liked the Guilty Gear because it was similar to Street Fighter 4. And I really liked the Blaze Blues, like Art. Art was pretty nice, so I gave that a try as well. And Unia, I gave that a try as well. I was a lost child.
Couldn't find a main game after Street Fighter 4, it seems.
So I was just playing a bunch of those games, and I fell in love with it because it was a challenge, like learning that type of style and stuff like that was a challenge, and I felt like it bettered me as a player overall and a person as well. So I'm very grateful that I actually didn't like season 1 of 5. But now, as the game is starting to flesh out, I'm actually starting to play Street Fighter 5 now.
What? So hold on. So the anime god Kizzy K is going to Street Fighter 5?
Yeah, so I've actually been playing a lot of 4 on a down low.
Mm-hmm.
So I could kind of get my feet wet, see how the water feels. It's kind of warm, hot, cold. Really liked the response of the water. Okay, this is nice water, right? So I've been, dabbing on characters, and I kind of find like a little bit of a couple of characters that I actually like. So I've just been putting a little time here and there. Like this year, I wanted to try the TP this year.
Okay. So, you said that you're trying out some characters. When you play a fighting game, do you have, are you, a grappler type of person? Or is it more just, you find a character that you just vibe with? Is it, an aesthetic thing? Like, for me, I love big, beefy characters. So, you'll see me playing, Armored King, Abigail, Zangief. I always gravitate to, big dudes. So, what is it for you for characters? What do you look for?
Sometimes it's aesthetics. I'm like, oh, this character looks cool. And then it happens to, it find, It's funny, sometimes that character actually is the archetype that I also want to play too. I'm very like a balanced type of character. Like the characters I pick, and you know, and this stuck with me, especially talking to people about like even finding your archetypes. You want to find a character that you can't make excuses to lose. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to find characters that you don't have to be the best character in the game, but you could be well-rounded. So well-rounded character really fun because I'm not like excelling at like anything particular, but my skills, if my skills is really good, then I excel at everything that I'm balanced off of, right? So it's a lot of the player skill that I really like, the aspect of those type of characters. So you'll really see me play like characters that are very, very basic, straightforward, don't have like a lot of like technicality in terms of like what you need to do here. It's just a lot of experience. So you'll see a lot of like that type of play style out of me.
Okay. Now, you said in the beginning that you started fighting games with Street Fighter 4.
I started competing in AE, I would say.
Okay, so like, what was the true first fighting game for Kizzy?
Man, that was Clay Fighters.
The fuck is Clay Fighters?
That was a Super Nintendo game. I was playing that. My dad bought it for me, and I was like, oh, you know, it's Clay Fighters, and I was hitting buttons on the Super Nintendo, and that was my first fighting game.
Yo, chat, please tell me somebody here has played Clay Fighters before. Cause I'm gonna be honest with you. I didn't even know that was a game. For me,
I didn't know it was a game either. I was just playing Clay Fighters, you know, and the game was really, really cool.
Alright, so yo, usually when people answer, I'm like, oh man, I remember that game, and I can like riff off of it and like transition into like another thing. You've caught me so flat-footed by this Clay Fighter shit.
Sorry. Nah, you got to talk to my dad about that one.
that's so interesting. So like, you know, one of the things I've found interesting is on previous episodes, you know, when I talk to, like, for example, Shine started as a, if I remember correctly, a Gears player. He used to be like a semi-professional Gears player. And then, like a lot of people, kind of got bit by the Street Fighter 4 bug. For you, you know, obviously I don't think Clay Fighters, you know, you immediately you played Clay Fighters until Street Fighter 4 came out.
Well, and if you want to hear that story, I used to play Gears of War 2 competitively.
Wait, for real?
A lot when game battles was very popular.
Okay.
I used to use the game battles. And I used to play a lot online, and I used to be very serious about, you know, the online aspect of Gears of War 2. And I kind of branched out a little bit after Gears 3 because that's when my actual team disbanded and started doing things that they actually wanted to do outside of War.
Mm-hmm.
And as a lost dog, you know, you gotta figure something out, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Well, what can I do? So, because I had a fighting game background, playing fighting games all my life as a kid,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, you know, like maybe I could take Street Fighter 4 series. And you know, I met some people at Arcane Infinity when I was in high school, and I went there like twice. Play KOF because I used to play KOF a lot in the arcades. So I tried KOF 13, and that's when I kind of start noticing there are people out there that were just, if not better than me, you know? And I was just like, wow, this is cool. So, I transitioned from Gears of War, a shooter, into mm-hmm. a fighter. So I have a lot of shooting, 3D, third-person shooter background.
Man, that's actually kind of interesting, because like I said, the one thing that's been, like, super interesting for me doing this show, and also just, like, talking to people in the FGC in general, is, like, where everybody comes from. You know, you got some people that, you know, used to play Magic super seriously, or, you know, some people were, like, you know, Nokami tells the story about, like, how he used to be, like, a scholarship athlete, and he was playing MK10 as, like, you know, whatever, just, like, a thing to, like, pass the time. And then when he hurt his knee, he was like, all right, I got to find a new thing to do. And that's how he started playing playing fighting games. So it's so interesting to see that, like, you know, nobody's like this, like, ride or die. Very few people are like, day one, I'm going to become like a fighting game legend. Like, everybody sort of finds their way into the community, which I think is super interesting.
I actually was playing football at a time as well in high school. I tore my ligament in my shoulder. So that was another reason why I was, like, so hard on, like, passionate about shooters.
So was that the transition? You were like, I can't... did you tear your ligament in such a way that you couldn't play football anymore, or...?
I didn't want to play football anymore.
Oh, because it, yeah, like...
It really put a, like, a to, like... It really broke, like, that happened to me because, like, no one knew what was going on, and I was, like, yelling in pain, and everybody was just like, you know, what's going on? And, like, you know, to have my shoulder out of place for, like, 45 minutes or, like, trying to, like, figure out things, definitely left a big no-no that I didn't want to do more. Maybe it just wasn't
for you?
Yeah, so, but I was really competitive. I actually liked, like, I really like hitting people, especially when I was in sports, you know. So it you know, I wanted to do it. I wanted to put that type of competitive like fire into something positive, right? I can't just go outside and be like, "Yo, you trying to play some ball?" Like, but I definitely could hit rematch or like find rank match, and I'd be like, "Okay, well, let's ball here," you know. It's kind of find its way around. So that was like a little period of times of like my life where I jumped on to other stuff like that.
No, that's actually super interesting because it, you know, you say you can't like run around outside and just be like, yo, you wanna battle. But Dogra actually has the same sentiment that, like, you know, in real life you can't just like walk up to a dude and be like, yo, let's fight, right? But fighting games gives you that sort of ability, right, to like have that moment to, you know, because like in real life you can't just battle somebody, you can't just be like, let's scrap, let's see who's stronger. But in fighting games, or just like in video games in general, you get that sort of like feeling of like, oh man, I like threw my best at somebody else and like they threw their best and we just saw what happened. And like worst case scenario, like I lose, but I can always press like the rematch button, right? Like we can always do another game. And I think it's interesting that so many people, especially at like the higher tiers of fighting games, come from these like competitive sport backgrounds. And you see it in esports too. Like a lot of the like European like CSGO or like League people, they all played like soccer or something and like all the way through high school. And then like they saw that like, well, I'm not going to become a pro baller, but I'm pretty good at this like video game thing. So maybe I'll do that instead.
Right, that's sort of the story of my life as well. It's just like, well, I don't want to play sports anymore because of my shoulder, you know, that surgery, going through that whole phase, it took too long. So, like, even if I would have went back into sports, like, I wasn't getting no opportunity anymore. You know, I have a metal piece in my shoulder.
Yeah.
So I was just, you know, I need to do something where I'm gonna get hurt.
So I have a question because this hasn't come up for a lot of people, and I'm wondering: Did you go to college after high school, or?
I went to a community college, and I went there for a year, and I actually got a pretty good job working at the security guard, basically working like overnight. They were giving me so much hours and so much money. I was like, well. You know, I live in Los Angeles, you know,
gotta make that money. Shit is expensive out there.
Yeah. And at the time, I was actually, going to get married around that time. So.
Whoa. All the secret Kizzy K lore. All right. So hold on. Time out. So you went to school for a year, became a security guard, realized that like, all right, being a security guard is pretty sweet. Making mad money. You were engaged, like, all right, what happened?
Well, you know, we were young, and she wanted to do, she wanted to try other things out, and she was finding herself, you know, and, you know, she wanted to she was very interested of dating girls, and you know, she was like, "This is who I want to be," and I was like, at the time, it hurt. And later on, she talked to me, and we was talking, and we're kind of friends now. We still bump heads because, you know, we had that relationship, but every time she calls me, I try to look out for her best I can. You know, still learning and finding stuff. You know, I'm happy for her. She's doing good. She's happy, and I think that's the most important.
Yeah.
But, you know, things just don't work out the way you plan it. But I think it bettered me as a person. So I'm really happy that she found herself, because I kind of found myself as well. I wouldn't be doing it because I probably would have been spending my time with her.
That's fair.
So I'm happy. I'm happy that how things worked out.
All right. So, like, at what point when you started? So, like, you were doing Gears kind of semi-competitively. You gave, you know, KOF a try, and then you at some point transitioned to Street Fighter 4. At what point did you decide that, like, this full-time competitor thing was what you wanted to do with your life?
Honestly, so at the time, I was like, I'm really not happy of just, like, getting at my job. And, you know, I was living, I had a house where it was, like, five of us. Mm-hmm. It was a 6-bedroom house, so, like, we had an extra guest room, and, you know, rent was, like, extremely cheap at the time because, you know, you get people all in one house and stuff like that. You move out here. And I was living in Watts at the time as well. So, you know, the rent wasn't that bad. You know, so I took a break off work. It's like, you know, I just want to enjoy life, you know? And mm-hmm. at that time, like, I was still going through the breakup stuff. So I was like, you know, I need to try and find something. So everybody in the house didn't like playing me and, like, any fighting. So every time it was like, you know, everyone was getting together to play, I couldn't play with them. I could watch, but I couldn't play, you know? So that was a sign of something, right? I was like, you know, I need to go find people that's going to, like play me.
Yeah.
So, like, there was so many people playing me. You know, they whooped my ass. So I was like, of course, you know, this is good because at least they ain't going to, like, you know, dodge me. You know, they're going to play me. So, you know, I took a lot of loss, stuff like that. And I was having a great time losing because I was like, yo, this is, like, where I want to be. Like, it was basically like a kid going to a playground. You know, you learn how to use all these rides and stuff like that. And you start, like, falling and start hurting yourself. You want to, like, go back and get up and do it again and keep trying and trying and trying. So it became something that I just naturally started, like, really, really liking to do. It's like, oh, this event going too. I want to prove myself here. And I want to prove myself here. And it's just naturally happened. And then somebody just told me, like, yo, you could actually, you know, do this. Really, really want to, right? Really want to. I was like, well, I really want to because I really like this, you know? So I just really, really pushed hard to it. You know, it was just one of those things where someone just pushed me into doing it, and I just did it. And yeah. I haven't really looked back since.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, like, that's obviously not, like, the average sort of game plan for most people, right? Like, everybody likes video games. I don't think there's anybody that's like, yo, video games are whack. Everybody plays some type of video game. But it's interesting that, you know, you were like, I need a break from my job. I'm too young to be just, like, working all the time. And instead of, like, you know, just chilling or whatever, you, like, found fighting games. And not only did you find fighting games, you were like, this is a thing I want to, like, put myself into, because it's risky, right? Like we said at the beginning, you know, it's hard to make a life out of video, like, fighting games. Like, yeah, you can maybe have, like, a successful stream or, like, a decent YouTube, but that's, like, a huge leap of faith.
Well, I feel like my life is nothing but a leap of faith. You know, I'm blessed to be alive. I feel like I'm very lucky. Especially with all the stuff that I went through as a kid and stuff like that. So I feel like my mind and life has always been, like, a faith in everything I do. I have a lot of faith in myself and what I do. And I understand that sometimes you have to look in other directions forward. And, you know, sometimes it's going to take longer for than others. You know, sometimes people can just shoot forward and like, boom, you know, they got it. But sometimes, you know, we have to look left. We got to look back a little bit. We got to go up, you know, and stuff like that. So I try my best to keep positive on everything I try to do. And I really, really question myself when I'm doing things like, you know, are you really doing this? And are you really okay? You know, I really check on myself, like, are you all right? You know, like, because I don't want to do something and I have any doubt, you know, in anything. And that's just how I am, you know. It's not about putting all eggs into one basket, but it's more about, like, you know, asking yourself, like, you know, are you happy? You know, like, are you okay? Is your family good? Like, are you good? You know, so it's more of just believing in myself. You know, it took a long time for me to believe in myself, but I believe in myself 100%. And you know, I want to show everybody how I believe in myself by being successful.
That's, you know, that's like hella positive. I'm about that.
Thank you.
No, I'm super about that, because I know you kind of like brought it up a little bit when you did the Red Bull Conquest video with Anakin and Snake Eyes, and you kind of just you kind of skated over it just now, that like you kind of had it a little bit rough growing up. Do you want to talk about that at all? Because I think it's like important for people to see like the come up, right? Because like everybody just assumes when they meet you, you know, they're like, well, you know, Kizzy, he's eating good now, like. Dude's probably always been eating good. He doesn't know what it's like to have that rough patch.
I've had a rough patch since I was 15. Life has been hard since I was, you know, when I started understanding what life was when I was a kid. So I would say when I was like what, 6,
mm-hmm.
7, you know, 8. You know, I never had it good, you know. Like, I was living in South Central, 65th Street, Broadway. That's one of the worst areas out here in California. You know, when I was living with my dad, we didn't live in a house. We lived in a shack. We had one bed, you know, and a dog, you know. You know, people was outside shooting. So, like, you know, sometimes we couldn't play basketball outside sometimes, you know. So that's another reason why I got into gaming, because that's the safest place to play at, you know, like in home. At home, you know. So I didn't have a lot of support from my mother, you know. Despite I support her to this day because she's my mother, she didn't really support the things that I did, you know. But I'm glad that she's slowly starting to understand how things work, and you know, time's changing. But you know I lost my father when I was 12. That really hurt me a lot, because he was my only supporter, right? So he taught me everything. So imagine somebody that taught you everything, got you into gaming, bought you everything. He was the sole purpose of why I'm still doing this now, because he gave me these tools to like learn about video. You know, when I needed money to go play Metal Slug and KOF. Because no one was outside to play basketball or, you know, football or anything, that we had to create games outside. So it's not like we had things to do. So when they wasn't outside because they were out hanging out with their fam, stuff like that, I had nobody. So I was like, well, I'm going to go to the arcade, you know. Went to the arcade and I played, killed some time. You know, at the time it was quarters. So 4 quarters would get you 4 games. So you had to get good if you want to stretch those 4 quarters out, you know. So it wasn't really the best. I was a bad kid. Of course I was bad, because I lost my dad. So like, I didn't have any way to really show I was hurting at the time, you know. So I never really got help for it. I had to help myself for it. I had a lot of mentors that really took care of me. I had a lot of failure, I would say that. So I went through a lot of failure to succeed for what I'm doing now. So that's why I have so much confidence in like what I want to do, is because I seen what I didn't have, and I seen what I did have, and I seen what I got, and what I didn't appreciate at the time, and what I appreciate now. I'm living, and I'm breathing. You know, I have wonderful friends. I have a wonderful community that I'm in. You know, sometimes I have bad days, but I always think of like people from the third world country. You know, like at least I'm not walking outside and I gotta like fight for my life. But I'm walking outside and I have to deal with what life gives me. You know, and that's a little different than what some people deal with. So I never try to doubt myself.
No, that's, I mean, so like it's so amazing to hear a story like that, because, you know, every now and then it hits into the news, you know, video games are bad for kids, you know, makes kids violent, it makes people, but like these people don't even know that, like, for a lot of people, video games like saved their lives or got them out of trouble, right? Yeah, like I definitely didn't grow up in like a bad way, but like video games kept me out of trouble in the sense of like I could be, you know, be like rude to my parents or like breaking stuff or like getting into fights with people, or I could like sit at home and just like play Soul Calibur. Like it definitely gave me like, I wouldn't say positive in a way, because like, you know, I could be doing other things than sitting in front of my Dreamcast all day, but like right. It definitely gave me an outlet for a lot of the aggression that I had. And for you, it gave you a safety net, right? It gave you something to, yeah, like.
Yeah, like there was a story, man. Let me tell you, there was a story when I was playing basketball outside. Me, my buddy, and he could tell you this too. Me, him, and brother, we was all playing basketball, and the dude just drove up and he like just start wilding out on a gun, you know. And we running for our lives. You know, I was 11 at this time. I was 11 years old. And, like, I ran to his house, and I'm scared because, like, I didn't know where my dad was. So, like, you already know how, like, as a kid's anxiety is like that. You know, just like, yo, where's my dad? Where's my dad? Where's my dad? I called him, not picking up his phone. And then, like, 45 minutes later, he picked up, and he's watching basketball games, you know, and I'm just like
freaking out.
Yeah, freaking out. So, you know, at that, you know, that, you know, stuff like that, like, you know, you can't forget things like that, you know. But and that's why, like, when I'm just playing I'm just trying to win. I'm trying to be the best in the world, you know, for especially what I'm doing. So it's a lot, and I'm grateful for what it taught me. You know, it taught me a lot, and it kept me strong as a person, mentally. So I'm really happy for where I was able to grow up from, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, whatever our situations are growing up, it's like, they make us who we are, right? Like, you can always trace back, you know, something about yourself, you can find where it came from. Right, like I was the youngest in my family, so you know, you don't want to seem, you want to be involved, right? So like I would pay attention to the news so that I could like have conversations, because like I'm the youngest by like 6 years.
That's a big gap,
right? So like after a certain point, it's like really hard to relate to other people, like the rest of your family. So like by at least like having opinions about like current events, like at least like there was something for me to like talk to my siblings about, because like I, like we didn't have the same interests. Like I was the only one that stayed into like video games and comics. Everybody else kind of like outgrew that stuff. So that's what led me to do journalism, right? Is because like I was interested in current events, and I was only interested in current events to be able to talk to my like parents and family members.
I think that's such a like a cool way of like positively like finding a job, like a work, like a craft,
you know? Yeah.
And I feel like I could share that, because you know, I was the only boy in the house, and I was with three girls, you know, my mom, sister, my older sister. So we had a huge, you know,
yeah,
everybody was watching like the Parkers and stuff at that time, and I'm just like, well, back to Final Fantasy X. You know? like so like, you know, they were all up on those shows, you know, and at that time I didn't really understand it, you know, why it was so, like, cool to them. But one show I will say that we all got together for was, like, Recess, you know?
Oh, man, that's a good joint.
Yeah, so, or Doug, you know. But most of the time we just had a huge disconnect. You know, I didn't understand why they liked these things. They didn't understand why I didn't like those things. But at the time when I was young, of course, they all teased me about it.
Yeah.
So I was, like, I was basically getting teased by, like, you know, a bunch of people in my house. They were just like... Haha, you like that, and we all don't like that, you know? So I was just like, wow. Like I said, a lot of things like that really really taught me a lesson, like, just out there, you know?
Yeah.
And I appreciate at the time, like, when I was young, and I didn't understand how life works. Of course, I was, like, anger, bitter, stuff like that, but I understand, you know? I really understand, and it's okay. You know, so I'm happy. So
yeah, so, you know, let's get back on that positive jam, because, you know, we kind of took a dark turn for a bit. So Guilty is getting a new game. We saw Faust get revealed. I know that you had some thoughts. There's some things you want to see. Are you so, like, as the guy who, like, kind of wanders from, like, you know, anime title to anime title, you know, you were doing some Dragon Ball, doing some Eunice, you know, now Guilty, which is, I think, kind of the game a lot of people know you for, is getting a new title. Do you think, like, and you're also getting into Street Fighter 2, but, like, do you think when the new Guilty gets out, are you gonna, like, put most of your focus there? Or do you think you're still gonna kind of, like, dabble with a bunch of different titles?
So, yes, but I don't want to say all the way yes, because there are games that are coming out right now that, like, I naturally, like, love, you know, the style of those games, and it would be really hard for me to, like, let those go, you know, as long as the company, like, support it, you know. And if the events support it and, like, the company support it, I will 100% play those games. And I'm glad that it's not coming out anytime soon. It gives me time to really put a lot of time into these games, particularly exclusively. So when it's time to balance out those games, I can put a little bit more time over here, so I could, learn, like, develop my skills, like, in Strive.
Okay.
So, depending on how things work out, I think I'm gonna play, like, three games once again.
All right, so it's gonna be Strive, Street Fighter,
Granblue.
Yo, I mean, I hear that game's pretty sweet.
That game, I'm really looking forward to.
No battle for the grid. No Power Rangers.
So I've been learning Power Rangers.
Okay.
And I think that game is actually really, really fun.
Yo, it's so much fun.
And I sat in training mode literally my whole stream, like, practicing one, like, century combo. And like, when I finally got it, I was like, yo, let's go online, you know? And, like, I was playing, and, like, these big old Megazoids start coming out swinging. And I was like, wait, no one sat here and taught me how these things work. So, like, there's a lot of stuff in that game that I think is really, really, like, cool. I think the fact that the game is, like, easy button is really, really good, because it's still technical. I think that's a good. I like games like that. I'm like, that is a smart way of doing, like, you know, new games. It's like, you know, sometimes the inputs could be easy, but, like, make the game technical. Make the game, like, still fundamentally, like, you know, like, fundamental game, like, you know, you still have to learn the basic stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, even Dragon Ball is kind of like that too, right? Like, Dragon Ball is pretty easy to just pick up and play, but to, like, play it at the highest level, you need to, like, understand a lot of the fundamentals of fighting games.
Yeah, and the cool thing about it is the barrier is so easy to jump into. One mistake in that game could really cost you a lot of tempo, you know, a lot of tempo. You know, most games nowadays really, really relies on tempo.
Yeah.
So when the tempo swings, it could really, really, put you in a bad spot. So that's why those games are even more harder, because you have less time to like make mistakes.
Yeah, but I think the important thing about, especially like a game like Dragon Ball, right, is that like at least like you know what you did wrong, right? I feel like sometimes when I lost like back in like the Street Fighter 4 days or like in the like Tekken Tag days, I didn't know why, right? It just, you just kind of like somebody just like understood a fundamental part of the game at a much higher level than you. So like in Street Fighter 4, like one frame links, right? Like if you didn't understand that, you just like couldn't compete, right?
Right.
And I don't really feel like, I don't feel that way about a lot of the newer fighting games. I don't feel like if I don't understand this like one fundamental high level piece of mechanic, I like, well, I guess Tekken, right? Because if you can't Korean backdash, you might be fucked. But like in most fighting games, right? Like there's not this one thing that if you can't do it, you just like lose.
Right.
So.
Yeah, they, I feel like they really, and when I mean they, I mean like the company. That are making fighting games, they are using like this one method. They're all taking that one method, and they're basically stretching the method out, and it's making it very easily to show like why you're losing, and you know, they're making it very accessible to seeing that, and I think that's pretty cool. You know, I think a lot of people, don't understand why it's good. Some people are just used to like old time.
Yeah.
And you know, there was one thing I learned is like, you know, pretty soon this time is gonna go, so what are you gonna do? And that hit me, you know. It's like, well, what am I gonna do? You know, am I gonna disappear with them? I don't wanna disappear. So you gotta adapt. So I think this is good. I think this really help people that are coming in. There's a lot of people that are doing for the scene that are also, and I think people should appreciate that are doing good things for us.
Yeah, I think I understand why at the beginning of like, I would say like the new era of fighting games, you know, like Street Fighter V, Dragon Ball, people were like, what do you mean? Like, why isn't this super technical? Why are these games made for new players? And it's like, well, like, where are we going? One, like, you gotta sell the game, right? We saw what happened to Marvel, right? Marvel didn't sell, and there's no official Marvel scene right now, right?
Yeah.
Like, we have to sell the game if we want the tour. Like, if we want sustainability. And I know that there's, like, this, like, rift in fighting games right now of, like, people who, like, they want it to be, like, the before times, where it's not about the tournaments, you know. You just, like, have your job or whatever, and then, like, you do fighting games on the side. And then there are the people that, like, want to be able to, like, make this their job. Because who doesn't want to do the thing they love for a living? And for a lot of people, it's playing fighting games. But, like, if you make all of these games have these insane barriers of entry, ain't nobody going to buy it.
All right. And everyone's playing those games for a hobby, so... They're just playing for fun, you know, and that's the thing that is going to disconnect a lot, because people who want like old times, or, you know, even some people on the old time, they want to have the best of both worlds, you know. They want to, oh, I have a job, so it's fun. But then, like, when they play, they want to play to win, you know. But most people who play to win are pro players. So are you a pro player? You know, like, it's like, what is your end game? You know,
yeah.
Like, why do you want to win? So. I think what you said was, you know, was spot on. I think these barriers are going to help people understand why fighting is so good. You know, let's say, for example, like a million-dollar company was like, yo, I want to get into a fighting game. And then, like, Street Fighter 4 was their first, like, investment. And, like, you know, they got to learn one-frame links. They're like, what? I do this? I'm not investing in this. You know what I mean? Like, but then, like, you look at Street Fighter 5 and, like, they got target combos in, you know, so like that, they can at least see like the idea early.
Yeah.
Later. So like, I understand. And I just appreciate games like Granblue that make it accessible. They even have a skill system, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And and they also implement it, like, you don't have to. And I think that's cool. I'm like, well, at least, like, we can have the best of both worlds and also make it accessible for anybody to play the game. This is awesome. You know, I think a lot of companies should follow what Cygame. You know, so I'm really happy that they're doing it. I just hope they keep the formula very nice, fresh.
Yeah, it seems it's I haven't gotten to play it yet, but I watched Patrick Miller stream it, and it looked super fun on his stream. You know, right now I'm like stuck between playing three games. I'm playing Power Rangers. I'm playing Tekken. Because every now and then I watch a Tekken major and I'm like, oh man, I should be playing this game. And then I remember that I'm really booty at it. But, you know, I haven't rediscovered how bad I am at that game yet, so I'm going to keep playing. And then I play Soul Calibur, because I've been playing Soul Calibur since I blew out my knee. So I won't ever give that game up. But Granblue looks heckin' fun. I should probably try that game too.
I think you'll like a lot of it. She's really... She's right up your alley.
So here are my mains. I've played Abigail. I've played Armor King. I played Zangief. It's Soul Calibur. I played Mitsurugi.
A lot of you are the character you want to play.
All right.
She's the grappler in the game.
Yo, you didn't have to out me as a grappler player. Like, people can just not...
I'm sorry. She is a up close and personal. She's up close and personal.
You know, I always like try to pretend that I'm not a grappler main until somebody asks me to like name the characters I play, and then they're like all grapplers. Like even Spider-Man is kind of a grappler.
Ultimate Web.
Yeah, like I can't get away from it. It's fun throwing people around. Look,
embrace it. Embrace it.
You know, I can't help it. It is what
embrace
it is.
Embrace it, girl. You gotta let it go. Let it go.
Embrace the grappler life.
Yep. Embrace it.
So you're playing Street Fighter now, but you didn't say what character you're playing. Who you messing around with right now?
I've been playing Nash, Ryu, Zeku, Nikali, Kage.
That's a spread.
Yeah, I like getting into like the game, like the dirty and the, you know, I like when I hear somebody like a character's bad, I'm like, why is this character bad? You know? And I really
it's pretty obvious why Nash is bad.
Yeah, but sometimes you just gotta see it for yourself, you know. Yeah. You know, I think he has some potential in this patch. Just, you know, things just don't work out sometimes.
Yo, I feel like if they just give him a little bit more damage, I think that that's what he's missing. They took a lot of damage away after season one, and they haven't really fixed that problem.
Mm-hmm. I would say his V skill too really gives him a lot of damage, but how you get it is going to be really hard.
Yeah,
it's not like he has like crazy high low mix up. You know, he's a zoner at the end of the day. So, I think his straight hits. I think they made things more hit confirmable in this patch. This patch is all about like hit confirm.
Yeah.
Because not everybody could do it. So I think that's I think that works out for him too. And if you master his hit confirming, you'll really get a lot of damage from him sometime. And the cool thing about it is you do a lot of damage, you knock him full screen. And I think that's like where Nash like excels the most.
Mm-hmm. So you're playing Nash, you're playing some Kage. So, like, if you were to enter a tournament tomorrow for Street Fighter V, right? You know, final round is coming up around the corner. Who do you think is, like, who do you think you're going to main, though? Like, who's your heart set on right now?
I would say Zeku will be my heart main. I would definitely play other characters for matchups that I feel it's not stable for tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually tournament about like who has the better strategy. So I would definitely play a better strategy with a more easy, efficient character in those environments. So I will be playing like three characters.
Okay.
So it'll be a couple of those characters that I need.
All right, so you're liking, so like if Capcom announces that they're doing another season of Street Fighter League, do you think you'll try to make your way in?
Yes, I'm confident that I'm confident if I put my time in five, you know, and do well, I will probably get on there.
Okay.
I'm fairly confident. I just need to show my results of why I should be there. So I'm just going to just focus on like improving my game and improving the nature of the game, and we'll see what happens there. You know,
it's always cool to see people like branch out into games that people don't necessarily associate with them. Because like you might have started with four, but everybody associates you with Anime Fighters right now. Or you know, like even it's cool watching like Sonic learn Street Fighter, right? Like it's always cool because like people forget that. You know, aptly named for the show, right? The neutral. Like, if you're neutral and your footsies are good, like, that'll translate into every game. That's why, like, Anti can play Street Fighter, right? Like, people are like, oh, Anti's gonna play Street Fighter 5, watch him get washed. And then people are like, oh, he's, like, not bad at this.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, because we have neutral and Smash, you idiots. Like,
right.
Right? Like it's not like, you know, a fighting game has, like, something so fundamentally different.
Right.
You still got the neutral. You still got Fuchis. You know, you still got, you know, figuring out, are you a zoner? Are you a rushdown? Like, all of that exists in all fighters. So as long as, like, you're fundamentally solid, it shouldn't be hard for you to translate the success we've seen you in other games into Street Fighter V, right? Like, game's not that hard.
It's not. It's more of a mental work. It's a lot of people think that it's like in game, but it's a lot of mental strategy that you have to really, really dive down and put your most time into those, because at the end of the day, two out of three, you have to have the better strategy.
Yep. You know?
Sometimes the better player don't win. So if you understand that, it's not about how much time you put, it's about how much mental time do you put.
I mean, that's the one thing that I think a lot of people don't understand. And they're always shocked by it. Like, when I ask pro players, like, oh, hey, like, what's your, like, training day, right? Because, you know, some players, they have a full-time job. You know, somebody like Cool Kid, right? Like, he works a 9-to-5, and then he plays when he can play. But, you know, for the pro players, the ones that, you know, are blessed that they can kind of just do this full-time, people think that y'all play all day. And that's all you guys do. And it's, like, literally no one, I've never asked anyone, like, any pro player, like, oh, what's your training day like? No one has said, like, I play 8 hours of fighting games. No, nobody says that. Everybody's like, yo, I play, like, a couple hours. And, like, a lot of people, it's, like, watching footage. Like, watching matchups, you know, double-checking, like, frame data. But, like, all these people who, like, haven't reached that level of, like, I don't know, making it to, like, round two, maybe making it to, like, top 64. A lot of these people don't realize that, like, you don't get there by just sitting in the lab for like 10 hours practicing your combos. Like, that's, at a certain point, you know your combos or you don't. Like,
yeah.
You don't need 10 hours to learn your combos. It's like, a lot of it is just, like you said, a lot of it's mental. Taquito says that, you know, F-Champ has said that, Bon-Chan says that, everyone I've spoken to, everyone says it's a mental game. Like, of course you want to know your combos, you want to know how to hit confirm, or like, what's the better matchup, or how do I do this in this matchup? But that's all up here. It's not playing for 8-10 hours a day. It's not going to make you better.
I would say the only time playing those a long amount of time, it's you know, like, if you're getting into, you want to play somebody for around your level because you want to learn how experience works. So for you to get your experience, you have to play a lot, but there's a certain, like, limit of, like, what do you, like, cause if you play somebody for like 25 hours and not have like a strategy or like an idea behind it, then you're going to only remember 2 hours of that,
that
set. You know, your brain can't, you know, your brain naturally can't, like, take all that memory and just, like, apply it tomorrow, you know?
Yeah.
So you have to really, like, you really have to, if you're going to play those, like, long spots of times, you have to really, like, have a objective.
Yeah. You know?
And I feel like a lot of people don't have objective when they play that long. So they will play for like 24 hours and only have 1 hour of experience because they only, your brain only remembers that.
Yeah.
So, you know, my advice to people who, you know, there are some people who just want to play all day. I would say have an objective and try not to really limit yourself just by playing like all the time. Like, you know, you have to see, you have to think on different perspectives. That's why watching people is very important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could take that in the game. You could take that in life. You know, when somebody in life have a different perspective, perspective in life, you have to respect it. You have to listen and you have to respect it. They may have some differences to what you believe in. Well, you know, you have to learn and you have to understand that this is how they look at things, it's how they were raised. You know, it's, you put that in and out of life. So it's a good training to do. Just don't play for 24 hours. You know, that's just my advice.
Yeah. But, you know, we've been at this. We've been at this for 50 minutes. So is there anybody you want to, like, shout out, thank?
I think I will go for 10 minutes. So I will say thank you to my sponsors. Thank you to everybody who support me in what I do. I don't expect people to really, you know, like me, be honest with you, you know, but I appreciate people actually genuinely respect and appreciate for what I'm doing. It means a lot. It means that I want to do better. When people compliment me, I was like, you know, I'm always in the back of my head. I'm like, that's not enough. I need to do better than, you know, and I just appreciate it. So thank you guys. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for having me here. I think the show is awesome.
Thanks.
Really happy to be on.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate having you on. It's, you know, I like talking to people about, one of the things, there are two things that I like doing, and it's playing video games, and I like talking to people who play video games. You know, like, we didn't spend too much time being like, oh man, you know, let's get into the technicalness of Grand Blue, right? That's boring. People can watch your stream for that shit. You know, I want people to know who, like, Kizzy is. Like, where, like, how do you get to the person that you are today? Or, you know, how do you, like, you know, for example, when I had, you know, Shine on, people got to find out, you know, that he was a semi-pro Gears player. I bet you nobody knew that before they watched that episode, right? Like, that's the type of shit that I think is most interesting. Is, like, people getting to know, you know, people for who they are, not just the guy that they watch at, you know, a tournament or something.
Right.
Because there's more to you than fighting games.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
Yeah. Surprisingly, huh?
Right? But thanks everybody who came by. Kizzy, thanks for being on. Y'all know how I do. Until next time, go Beyond Plus Ultra and peace.
Peace out, guys.